So for a few moments sitting up here, I think I was becoming distracted away from giving the talk by having so much appreciation for all of you. Somehow it was kind of washing over me, this appreciation, and meeting you one-on-one, being here at IRC together, walking into the hall, seeing those of you here, knowing the people elsewhere in the building and walking hall and online or practicing. But then I thought, well, I shouldn't get lost in appreciation. There's a talk to give. These talks so far, their intention was to kind of lay down a foundation of different components of awareness practice. They're not meant to be something foreign from you, but rather hopefully something that you can recognize in yourself, maybe not always there, but from time to time, some of these foundational qualities are hopefully there enough that there's a reference point inside of you for them. And they are setting down a foundation for supporting the practice as it unfolds. So these last three talks are kind of the three legs of a tripod, creating a foundation, that kind of foundation, a structural foundation in a certain way. And so stability. I relate to letting yourself finally come to rest. There can be so much doing and so many constructions in the mind and doings and wantings and not wantings and being almost anywhere but here. It's a profound thing to feel our whole system be at rest, as if it has rested well. Not at rest like it's going to go to sleep, but almost at rest after waking up from a good sleep or good nap. Just at rest. So the stability in part is just from the lack of agitation, lack of wanting this and that. The well-being I associate with contentment. To be content here and now. Where just being alive is enough. Being content with all the evidence that exists in your sensations and your knowing and your awareness and your whatever animates you, all the evidence you have for being alive, just being alive is enough with all that. Nothing to prove, nothing to apologize for, nothing to defend, nothing to assert. And that supports the being at rest. Contented rest. And then the confidence that maybe is also a kind of inspiration. And I'm associating that with the confidence and inspiration to be present here and now for this lived life as it's being lived, which is only now. To have the confidence to keep showing up and being present, to be awake and aware to this. Having more confidence in this, here and now, than that, there and then, here. So at rest, contented, and confident of the value of being aware here and now. And then being aware has components to it. One of them is to know. It is a recognition. It doesn't have to be so verbal, but it is a kind of cognitive movement where we see things more clearly. Each thing may be in its own fullness of each thing. Turn on the light, and when it's dark, we don't see what's there, maybe. Turn on the light, we see. And now things stand in distinction to each other. If you walked into the dining room here and it was dark, you would maybe feel your way to something that feels like a cup, and something that feels like a samovar, and something that feels like a lever that you can get hot water with. And you probably find your way. But turn on the light, and you see all the cups hanging from the cup holder, each individual one. Wow. You see the distinctiveness of each cup and distinctiveness of how the cup is different than the frame that holds it. The uniqueness of a chair being distinct from the table. The chairness of the chair is recognized and known. The tableness of the table. The cupness of the cup. Maybe recognize the space between the cups, the spaceness of space. With light on, maybe you notice the space in the room of the dining room. The roomness of space, the spaceness of room. Just start seeing things in a kind of, things in there. Begin having a kind of distinctness in the clarity of the mind. So when the veils, the obstructions of the eyes, the thoughts, the buzzing and buzzing and swirling of thoughts and ideas and distractions slow down, so we see things clearly. Imagine, you know, that you go into the dining room with, you feel at rest, you feel contented, you feel inspired to be present. More than the rush to get a cup of tea, as if that's like a drive and a rush and a, you have a long list of things to do here. So you got to get the tea out of the way. But instead you go in there, it's just there. You're getting tea, but just like, wow. Chairs, table, space, cups, It feels so special. Not so much because those things are so special, but a mind at rest and contented and inspired has the time to experience it, to feel it, to be with it. And it is kind of an amazing event that somehow or other you're conscious, you're aware. How did that happen in this universe? And all these billions of years that it took to these molecules to come together in this way to have you be the person who's carrying this consciousness? I mean, how could you have been so lucky? I bet this consciousness of being human is probably a different kind of consciousness than an ant. You could have been an ant, right? Or something. So just to, wow. But to, you know, see everything clearly. Or to bring it in more intimately, to know and to feel, to sense what is here. Anything you sense in your body is a manifestation of being alive. Wow. And maybe to have some tranquility. To be in the midst of it all with some modicum of tranquility, to be at peace with this. So these are some of the elements that can be here sometimes. And as we do this practice, they're not just for their own sake, which they are, but they also serve as a foundation for the unfolding of this practice further. And at some point, there begins to be a shift in the nature or the kind of awareness that's beginning to operate. And it's there can still be knowing, still be sensing, still be the general gestalt of awareness. But now the attentional capacity to observe begins to come into prominence. And so for people who are visual, have strong visual mind, this will maybe seem that they're at home in it. But to be able to observe our experience, to witness the experience. And this is significant in the ancient teaching, where the discussions about observing experience is all the references to observing are at a time when the mind is settled, stable, contented, really present. When their mind awareness has a sense of the openness, receptivity to experience. Maybe when a mind has lots of breathing room, infinite breathing room. So it's remarkable that in these ancient teachings, the word observing is comes into play when these kinds of different factors are in place. And I think the reason for that is that there is a way of seeing, observing, where we don't interfere with what we see. In fact, I think generally we don't. The seeing itself just sees. Seeing by itself doesn't grab something. Seeing by itself doesn't judge something. Seeing by itself doesn't push something away. Seeing by itself just sees the experience. Of course, all those other things can happen, but there are different activities of the mind or the body. There are layers of second and third layers of reactions to what we see. And so at some point, there's enough trust, enough contentment, enough inspiration, stability, to see and let there be in the seen only the seen. In the heard, only the heard. In the sensed, only the sensed. And in the cognized, only the cognized. It's very simple. And so, so this language of seeing then is used for this simplicity of a perception that simply perceives things from this kind of quiet, stable place. I like to think of it that each thing that we perceived is given a gift by us. It's given the gift of being allowed to be itself. Without all the additions that we can add. So the sound of a car going down the road, we give that sound the gift. You can just be the sound. So what it means is that there's not a big, or maybe there's a very little, if any, overlay of projections onto experience. There's very little seeing experience through the concepts we have of it. And as we know, we do a lot of projecting on others and on things, and it means we're not making what we see and perceive into something that has to be fit into our desires or aversions or sense of self, what we want and don't want. All kinds of things. If I go to come down to the edge of a river, the thing that I most want in life is across the other side. see the river, but the river is just an obstacle. I see it as an obstacle to getting what I want. And mostly I'm just trying to figure out how to get across the river. Something that floats on it that can paddle across, or you know, just kind of just the river is a problem. Or I'm an engineer. You know, this would be a good place to have a dam. I can make a lot of money selling water in California. And so I'm just kind of looking at the river about how, you know, what it would take. But coming off a retreat, maybe the middle of the retreat, maybe tomorrow, if you had a chance to go down to a river, somehow feeling at rest, somehow feeling contented, feeling confident in the value of being present, having turned on the light of awareness. So there's knowing and seeing clarity, seeing distinct, seeing what's there, kind of. And then you sit on the edge of the river and seeing the riverness of the river. And the river flows by. You're sitting there and watching it flow. The surface, little wavelets, the patterns, the movement of the water. You're not thinking about what you can do with the river or how to deal with the river. Just the river is allowed to be the river. And with the clarity of the mind, the light turned on, you can start seeing something now that will get highlighted when we're not in the projections of river. And that is, we start seeing more clearly the flow of the river, the movement of the water, the ripples of the different little wavelets. We see the changing nature of the river. And some of you probably know that it can be a wonderful experience. Just watch a river go by for minutes, hours, just looking and looking. I mean, you think after 30 seconds you get the idea. You know, after 30 seconds you know what it looks like. It's not going to change that much. You have important things to do, so why stay there? But in fact, some people find it very relaxing, soothing, to just watch a river flow and flow and move and flow by. It's possible to get completely absorbed, even concentrated, in just watching the river go by. There's something about the attention we have when it can be present for something that's gently moving or rhythmic or flowing or changing, that's kind of repetitive. It's no longer the details of the river that are important. That's not what pulls us into it, but rather it's the changing, flowing nature of the river that somehow does something meaningful for the inner life. I think some of it, but maybe not all of it, is that the eyes begin to relax when the eyes are not fixated on something, but rather just kind of gently kind of flows with the flow, gently kind of floats on top of it and goes, you know, looks at this and that and here, just kind of gently. That it's a bit more difficult to do if they're just looking at a, you know, the face of a cliff or the outside wall of a building. So what's beginning to happen is that we're very present for the river, seeing it with clarity, kind of, but the details of it little bit recede in favor of seeing how things are changing and flowing over time. So when the Buddha switches to talking about observing experience, seeing it, using the language of seeing, he's referring to the river, the flow of our experience, and how it shifts and changes. And so the details of it in some ways are no longer so important. Still, they're known and seen. But what is known, the knowing still operates, but what gets known clearly is the change, the comings and goings. So if you're watching the breathing, staying with the breathing carefully, it might no longer be the sensations, individual sensations that are being registered, but rather it's the flow of sensations, the movement from one to the other, that individual sensations appear, they persist for a while, and then they're no longer there. The inhale begins, it persists, it comes to an end. Within the inhale, there's a particular sensations at the beginning of the inhale. Maybe there's a mostly feel it as movement, a release of movement. Maybe the belly releases and moves out. In the middle of, and that movement kind of has it's a flow, it's beginning and end of kind, and then, but then it switches to an sense of expansion. And then at the end of the, and then that expansion, kind of expanding feeling stops, and something feels that comes to, there's a sense of pressure at the top of the inhale, a tautness, the stretching maybe, that feels like, well, that's the limit. And so there's, you know, at least three different set of sensations that come into play. They come and they go. If you're really sensitive, there's many more. But it isn't so much you have to track them all, but you see they ripple through. There's a flow, one after the other. And the same with the exhale. There's sounds outside, and you feel the ripple, the flow of the sound. So when the mind is stable and awake and clear, so it's not going to fall asleep easily, really there, at some point as we get deeper and deeper, sense things more deeply, feel it, see it, really connect to things, you know, intimacy and poignancy, at some point reality begins to show its flowing nature to us. You don't have to go so much go looking for it, but be ready so that when things are soft enough and relaxed enough, you start seeing, oh yeah, there's a flow, there's unfolding, there's comings and goings of things, appearing and disappearing. And one of the fascinating places to see this coming and going that actually helps, I think, enter into this or float in this coming and goings and of things is the comings and goings of awareness, of knowing, of sensing. So we're sitting here, meditating perhaps. And you maybe feel fairly settled on your breathing. And so it feels like knowing and breathing are connected. And the breathing continues, but then for a while you haven't even been aware of it, because your mind has gone off to register a sound, that's a car going by. So the knowing of the breathing has stopped, has passed away, has faded away. Because knowing, there's a different knowing that has arisen, the knowing of the car. And then before you have a chance to get back to your breathing, you notice that some warmth in your body has arisen that hasn't been there before. Now there's knowing of the warmth, the knowing of the car has ended, and now there's a knowing of the warmth. So knowing itself comes and goes, arises and passes. The distinctiveness, knowing of particular things. So as we're sitting, maybe with the breathing, watching the in-breath and the out-breath, maybe sometimes getting a sense of how it changes, and part of the flow of change is not just the flow of change of the sensations of breathing in and out, but also the changing nature or flow of knowing, of sensing that goes on. At some point, it's all flowing. It isn't that we're on the shore, looking at the river, we're just as much in the river as the water, whatever we are. Everything is flowing, everything is part of this. And what knows that? It's the seeing. The seeing sees it. The seeing that doesn't interfere. The seeing that is not troubled by anything, generally, unless it's a really bright light or something, seeing by itself just sees. You know, it's not like it's troubled, maybe. You might be troubled, but seeing is not. So using this metaphor of seeing for the nature of awareness at this point, I think is really pointing to something really profound possibility. Is settling back and just observing. Sitting under the oak tree, resting, content, peaceful, watching the river go by. Just watching. And some things we see come to an end. Some things come to an end and never occur to us to notice the end. When is lunch over? Does lunch have an end? It must. I don't see it anywhere now. Sitting at the dining room table comes to an end. Having a plate which is your plate for the duration of lunch, the yourness of that plate comes to an end when you slip it into the dishwashing tub. There's all these endings all the time. There's all these beginnings all the time. They come and they go. They move along and keep going in the flow of where time is, the present moment, these comings and goings, they go on incessantly forever. But then sometimes we gum it up. It's like putting chewing gum in the gears by our thoughts, our projections, our holding on, our retro, thinking about what happened, being stuck in the past, stuck in the future. But to stay close to where things come and go, are born and pass away, how would you need to relax now, right here? To just see, perceive, that each word that I speak appears and quickly disappears. What would you have to kind of relax or let go of? What kind of reaction, response, questioning, doubting, to make that so simple, to take in the coming and going? One of the advantages of this kind of seeing, at this level of seeing change and rising and passing, is it becomes easier and easier to see how we hold on, how we're trying to cling to something, not how we leave the river, how we leave the flow and get caught, how we project the ideas that freeze things up. The ideas, the self and me and mine. I think of self as wind drag. So someone would ask me, what's the self in Buddhism? And I said, it's wind drag. Stick out your hand in the car and it slows down the car, kind of. So in the flow of it all, you can kind of see where the drag is, where things get solidified or frozen, or how we leave the present moment, where the clinging is. In fact, it's the vehicle, it's the means for really beginning to identify some of the deeper places where we cling. And it turns out when we really get into this place of really seeing the comings and goings and movements of things, the radical, inconstant nature, the impermanent nature, there's an insight that can arise. And the insight is kind of a far out thing. It's the insight that when we cling, it never works. In fact, the only thing we cling to is our ideas of things. Unless you're on the edge of a cliff holding onto the railing, the clingings we have inside are clinging to ideas that are insubstantial, have no weight, have no shape, have no substance. And clinging to them is like trying to cling to the river, like grabbing a handful of water, and the water just kind of squeezes out between your fingers and you get a few drops, but it's a really amazing thing to kind of being in that river of changing nature of things and begin seeing something about the nature of clinging that is very hard to see in other ways. So I think, as I said, this is not something to go searching for, to see this way, but rather something that you're kind of allowing to appear, making room to appear, making yourself a vehicle to let this be shown to you. As the pieces of the puzzle, the pieces of the foundation, the tripod are more and more stable, more connected, more here. So we keep doing our practice, confident in our practice, but appreciating doing it with tranquility, with doing it with stability. Appreciating that the practice can be with contentment, confidence, inspiration, and just kind of keep doing it and beginning to a quieting of the projections, a quieting of the wantings and not wantings, the quieting of the thinking mind that is the obstructions that doesn't let us see the river properly. And when the fog has parted, at some point, when the time is right, when the Dharma knows is the right time for you, Dharma knows best, and you're available, then what's happening all the time anyway will be evident. The ongoing changing nature of this present moment, the extended present moment, the open-ended present moment. Things are just flowing through, coming and going. Some things stay longer than others. Some things persist for a while. And while some things persist, other things are coming and going. So at some point, everything goes. Either it goes because it's time to go. The day disappears. And now it's night. But while it's day, the day kind of doesn't disappear, but our knowing it's a day comes and goes. How many times today have you thought, oh, this is a day? Oh, today. You probably haven't had too many thoughts like that, the knowing, oh, this is a day. But if you did, that knowing is you know, brief. And where's the day if you don't know it for you? So the knowing, so some things are more constant, they last longer, but the knowing of it might be quite brief. That comes and goes. So one way or other, There's this coming and going, arising and passing. Which the Buddha calls truth. Amazing, amazing word, truth. This is truth. May your eyes, your inner eye, be soft and relaxed enough to see the changing nature of present moment experience. And as I sit here, pretty relaxed, my attention is drawn to my belly and chest and the shifting warm sensations and blowing sensations that are there, and then the dog barking. Little bit thoughts going back to that talk. And then back to my body, and the talk is receding. Where did it go? Now there's a new, the flow of experience. Thank you all.